From WXXI News, I'm Leah Stacey, sitting in for Evan Dawson, and this is Connections. Our connection this hour was made a long, long time ago, as the Finger Lakes were formed by the hands of the Great Spirit when they laid their hands on the land to bless it. According to Native American legend, the Spirit's fingers left imprints that filled with water, hence the name Finger Lakes. My Finger Lakes story began in 2006 when I had my first legal drink at Bellhurst Castle on Seneca Lake for, of course, my 21st birthday. It continued in 2009 when I got a job in Geneseo and moved to a house on Canisius Lake where I lived with two roommates I found on Craigslist. Yep, you heard that right. We used to do things like that. But hey, my rent was $300 a month and I lived in a lake house. Welcome to the City Till I Issue episode of Connections. Last year, we decided to begin doing an annual issue dedicated to all things Finger Lakes, and the July issue is our first real foray into that. We cover everything in this issue from a 25-year-old bluegrass festival and a shop that makes 3,000 dumplings a week to our deep equal rights history and a distillery that's making booze from mushrooms. And today, I thought we'd make this a fun conversation about the issue and beyond. In the first half hour, I'm joined by two of our freelance writers who are very familiar with the Finger Lakes, and then the second half of the hour, I'll chat with three of our in-house writers. First up, we have Maya Johnson Dunn, contributor to City Magazine. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Welcome to being in studio for the first time.
This is very exciting.
Very exciting. And we have Abby Quattro, another contributor to City Magazine.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back.
Excited to be here.
And contributor to City Magazine is not a super fair title for either of you. So I'm going to ask you in just a minute what you do beyond those things. So think about that. But in the meantime, everyone else, buckle up for predictions, shout outs, and more. If you're in the Finger Lakes, you can listen on our Geneva station, WEOS 89.5 FN. And if you want to join the conversation otherwise, you can email us at connections@wxxi.org. Or call 844-295-8255 or 585-263-9994. And now we're going to get to the good stuff. So Maya, we'll start with you. Beyond contributing to City Magazine, which you've done a few times now since I've been the editor, tell us about what else you do.
So, first of all, thank you for having me contribute to City Magazine.
Oh my God,
it's
our pleasure.
So fun to write for you. I really appreciate it. I am the beverage education manager over at New York Kitchen in Canandaigua, New York. I oversee our beverage education programming there, which is so much fun. If you haven't been to our little wine spectator theater and drank some wine with me, you should come on by. And I also am the Finger Lakes correspondent for Decanter Magazine. So I do a little bit of writing beyond City as well, which is fun.
And you got some national recognition recently.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you knew I was going to bring that up. Tell us about that.
last year, I was honored to be one of the Future 40 within Wine Enthusiast magazine, Future 40 Tastemakers, which is pretty exciting. I was going to say a bad word. Take it back.
we have ways to keep you from saying that on air, but seconded. Yeah. And Abby, tell us about what else you do.
A little bit of a mixed bag these days. Most of my professional life was in
very professional
was in food and beverage, and in 2021 I kind of left the service side of things and have been mostly focused on food and beverage photography from a freelance basis. In this issue I dipped my toe into a little writing as well, so kind of a mixed bag.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to shout out any of the people you work with? You're doing mostly photography.
And... yeah, mostly photography. You'll often see me lurking around restaurants. Yeah. I love shooting kind of in real time for events or kind of prepping up, different local or otherwise places that are fun. I work with a bunch of different, wine brands. I've worked with Skernick. I've been doing some stuff with Red, with some local breweries in town. So just kind of all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. And you recently shot some photos for a new place in Canandaigua, which we've all had the pleasure of visiting as of this past weekend, called Pincho.
Yeah, yeah.
So a Spanish tapas-inspired wine bar, very delightful. Some folks who were previously at Weimer are now there, and it's so fun if you are a fan of vermouth and Spanish wine and little pincho and tapas snacks.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah, it was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right on, is it Coach Street in
Canandaigua? Right on Coach
Street, yeah. Yeah, I went before Brandi Carlile on Saturday with some friends, and it was like they were calling it the Brandi Carlile pre-party.
Amazing.
Yeah, so we pre-gamed with our Spanish cava and then saw her just absolutely blow C-Mac out of the water with her vocals.
Amazing.
And if you don't know who Brandi Carlile is, I don't know what to tell you. Get on Spotify. Stop listening to this and get on Spotify.
Yeah, Pincho's great. It's a fun little, it's something different for Canandaigua. They're definitely pushing the boundaries in a food and beverage capacity, and it's cool to see. I think it's been well received so far, and Tara, who's doing the wine there, is wildly talented, as is Pam, who's in the kitchen, and for anyone that has enjoyed tapas or even just that style of small bites, I think it's a really cool place.
Mm-hmm. And such like a communal feel to it,
mm-hmm.
which Spain was a long time ago for me, and I was not there very long. So I won't do one of those like, oh my God, when I lived in Spain for 8 days. But it's a little fuzzy. But I do remember the communal thing being a big part of the food and the dining experience in Spain. And so I loved that they brought that there.
Totally.
Yeah.
I want to hear from both of you about your individual Finger Lakes journeys, because I think, A, they're still ongoing for both of you. And one of you moved here because of the Finger Lakes. So Maya, we'll start with you now that I've spoiled that.
I was about to say who.
But tell us how you ended up here. First of all, you're from Boston?
I am. I grew up outside of Boston and lived in New York City for a number of years and then moved home to Boston to never leave home again. And then I met a man, as these stories go, and met this man at a wedding in Cabo, Mexico. I thought he was my vacation boyfriend. I would never see him again. And then he invited me to visit him in upstate New York and took me to the Finger Lakes in the middle of the night after I drove, you know, to upstate after work from Boston. And the next morning, he made me open the blinds, and it turned out where he brought me to was his family's lake house cottage right on the water in Cuca Lake, and it was peak foliage in the middle of September. And then he took me to wineries, and as you can imagine, it was clearly a trap because I live here now. So.
and you married him.
And I married him, yes.
Yeah.
And now my career in wine is all wrapped up in my love for this man, and so it's all really messy, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
He wins, honestly.
He does win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done, sir.
Yeah, good job, Andy.
Okay, and you have some goals of your own in the Finger Lakes. Do you want to talk about any of those?
I hope to open my own winery one day.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding myself. I do not think that I will be the winemaker, nor do I love bugs, so I certainly won't be the one in the vineyard every day. But I love to build experiences. My previous career was in event production, and mm-hmm. so I would love to build an experience that feels really welcoming and fun around New York wine.
Yeah. That's love that. I love that so much. I'll be there. And Abby, you have a ever-changing relationship to the Finger Lakes. Tell us
true.
About that.
I was born in the area, so my Finger Lakes journey probably began due to my very practical mother, because outside is free and we're going to go hike and go jump in the water and go swim in the lake. So we would always, you know, my summer memories are peppered with, you know, adventures in the Finger Lakes in one capacity or another.
Mm-hmm.
And as I kind of grew older and leaned more into the food and beverage side of things, obviously you see a whole different side of the Finger Lakes beyond, you know, the beauties of the natural world. And big picture, you know, I get excited about the Finger Lakes because we kind of see what's going on, and Leah, we've talked about this in the past, mm-hmm. but we see what's going on in the West Coast and how
yeah.
they struggle so much with climate change-related weather, with fires, with issues. And while, you know, the Finger Lakes is not without its trials in terms of grape growing, I'm excited for the region and how it's kind of getting this opportunity to evolve.
Yeah.
People are moving to the Finger Lakes, starting new projects. I think that, you know, I love an underdog story, and it feels like we're starting to get our moment.
Yeah, and it's about so much more than Riesling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is something I love to talk about. And if you notice in the pages of this issue, it's not very wine focused. we mention wine because, of course, it's happening.
Yeah.
And we love the wine region that is the Finger Lakes. But we wanted to show how much more well-rounded the Finger Lakes really are. And, you know, Rochester has this privilege of being at the heart of it all, being such a seat for people who visit here or want to live here and work in the Finger Lakes. And I think that's really exciting. So I want to talk about some of the things that you both are excited about this season in the Finger Lakes or even coming up. And to kick that off, tell us a little bit about what you wrote for this issue. So Maya, we'll start with you. And your idea had like several iterations, but I love what we eventually settled on.
I do too. I know we pitched this idea about different things happening around the Finger Lakes, and with your pushing, Leah, it got us into looking at some of the events that are happening in and around the lakes. And it was really fun to sort of dig into what people are doing, not only at wineries, but beyond that. So there's a take at what sort of any personality type might like to do around the lakes. You know, if you're someone who's a little bit more curious about the culture and the land and the people who were here before us, there's something for you to do there. If you love food and pairing experiences, quite a few opportunities there, of course, given this is the Finger Lakes in a wine region and our wines pair fantastically with food. If you like crafting or you feel strongly about gourds, there's something for you to do there.
Who doesn't?
I was actually pretty excited to learn one of the places featured in my piece is called Gourdlandia, and it is sort of this farm museum all around gourds, and you can do crafting and see the gourds and walk through these sort of gourd mazes, if you will. And I mentioned it to a friend who grew up here, and she had no idea it existed. So.
I didn't either.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, that's in Ithaca?
I know.
No way.
Uh-huh. I have to go.
Yeah, immediately added it to my calendar.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of everything for everybody. And sometimes I think we think about the Finger Lakes as being just about wine or beverage. And if you aren't drinking right now, there's more than enough to do and still have a great time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. And, you know, the thing I love about this piece is that it goes through the season. So we do time this issue to be in the summer because I think that's when a lot of people are thinking vacation or just day trips. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's be honest, some of our schedules, some of our budgets don't allow for elaborate vacations. And we have this immense wealth of just like fun things to do within an hour or two drive away, mm-hmm, most of the time. So I really wanted to spotlight that. But, you know, the great thing about peak Finger Lakes season is it really does go through like early November, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, as we get into like wine harvesting, it's just so fun to go down there. And of course, the foliage. We cannot skip the foliage. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to time this issue early enough where it's like, okay, get down there, take a summer trip, and then keep going year round. I mean, some of this stuff is open seasonally, but a lot of it is open year round, especially as people really dig into the region and investing. Like, it's no longer I have a Finger Lakes home. It's like Finger Lakes is my home, mm-hmm, which is so cool to see. Especially, I think the pandemic really pushed a lot of people to move here, which, you know, is not great if you want a house down there now, but it is great for the region as a whole. So,
yeah.
All right.
I like the timing of this too, because I think people are looking for things to do with families, and there's a lot, yeah, of stuff that you can do in the summer. But to your point, you know, keep this as a guide. This entire issue is a guide for the whole year. A lot of people's livelihoods depend on us visiting them in the off season too.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Really good point. Yeah. And Abby, you also discovered something that I still haven't tried, had heard about through you. And it's just, after seeing the photos, I like think about this sometimes. And I'm like, when am I going to Pinyon? So tell us about the story you wrote.
I also think about it quite often.
Natasha, who modeled for you, is like the luckiest.
She literally kept saying, this is a dream job.
Like, drive along, like eating model. What? How do I get that job?
Sounds right? Great. yeah, I honestly discovered it was kind of very under the radar. I think it was back in 2020, and just some winemakers would pop over there to grab lunch. You know, it's somewhere you can go quickly, get something to eat, and they just said, you have to go. It's Knockout. You have to go. You have to go. So it was, you know, one of these beautiful summer Saturdays that my partner and I just made the drive and were absolutely blown away. Like, took his parents there, like, I tell everyone that I know, kind of thing. And it's just
when you know it's good.
Yeah. And it's so unassuming. You know, they built out this what was initially supposed to be a production facility and then just kind of turned into this amazing dumpling palace. And yeah, they have dumpling, they have bao, they have seasonal desserts, and it's all to go, or you can get them frozen, which I highly recommend. Mm-hmm. So you can take them home with you.
Yeah, brilliant.
And it's just incredible. It's you walk in and it's pristine. It's almost like you walk in and you're like, where am I? And then, you know, Imelda, who is obviously the heart and soul of it, is just cranking absolutely. You know, I thought I was in love with the dumplings, and then I talked to her and I heard her story, and I'm in love with her. That's what it's about. But it's absolutely incredible. And just, you sit right by the vineyard, views of the lake, eating dumplings. It's what could be better than that? And yeah, she also, you know, she was not from here. She kind of wound up in Geneva via Cornell. She has a science background, which you can tell as soon as you walk in. You're like, oh, this makes sense. You're a scientist.
Feels like a lab.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Dumpling lab.
Dumpling lab.
We really missed a headline.
I know we did.
Use that one on social.
But yeah, everything is to the detail, but with equal amounts of flavor and heart and soul. And you can feel that when you talk to her. Wildly humble, shockingly humble. Like, I had to really, you know, get her to talk about herself. And she's very perceptive. You know, she's reached out to her community in ways that she has, you know, these young Mennonite women coming in to work with her, and just listening to them sit around the table cranking out 3,000 dumplings in one day.
And there's only five of them.
There's five of them.
That's
crazy. It's bananas. It's so fast, so efficient.
And they do that once a week?
Yeah, on Tuesdays is their production day. And it just, the sense of ease, you know, there's so many times where you can walk into a kitchen or a restaurant space and it feels tight. It feels, you know, rigid. And there was so much ease here. She's clearly focused on detail, but also community and nurturing. Mm-hmm. And it's you can feel it.
I love that.
Yeah.
Such a cool story. I can't wait to go.
That's amazing.
No, please.
The first time I ever went to Chemeter, I had tasted with Imelda and not Johannes, who is the winemaker there. And she was not making dumplings yet, and she still had her science job on the side. And she was talking about time and what time means to you as a person, your own time, and how do you spend that time. And it's amazing to hear you say that, because clearly she's found a way to spend time that makes her happy and is where she should be.
And she talked about the timing a lot, which was really cool. You know, she said if they had done this, you know, in 2006 when they started the winery, she doesn't think it would have worked. But with, you know, the pandemic, with kind of the influx of young people and the, you know, the community showing up for each other, she really, you know, she seemed excited about the changes that were happening in the Finger Lakes, which was also really cool to see. And she didn't seem to think it was something that would take off in the way it was. You know, she said she started off just kind of bringing dumplings to potlucks and then was surprised that people loved them.
Oh, my God.
And
amazing.
Then
a classic story.
Yeah, I know.
And next then up, the cookbook.
Right, yeah. Right.
And the show, maybe.
Truly. I'm here for it.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. So I want to know, our time always goes so much faster than I think it's going to on this show. But I really want to hear from the two of you some things that you're excited about this season and beyond in the Finger Lakes, because I know you are plugged in not just with Canandaigua for you, Maya, and Abby. I know you spend a lot of time on Cuca, but what else have you heard about that you're excited? What's on your list for day trips?
I'm excited about the new wineries that are opening up. There are so many new people opening up spaces. It feels like in the last couple of years, maybe this is a gift to us from the pandemic.
Yeah.
People are moving on and new people are coming in. But Usonia has been making wine for a number of years. They're opening their tasting room soon, and I can't wait to get over there.
They're so great.
They're so great. Good people, great wines, really interesting take. Osmote's been open for a bit, but now he's got his pavilion and he's doing events. And so I'm just excited to kind of get out and support that next generation of Finger Lakes wine.
Yeah.
Same with Living Roots and that fantastic tasting room on Keuka Lake. Are you kidding me with that view? It doesn't make any sense.
And the burger pop-up now?
Right?
Yeah. So is it Fridays? Mm-hmm. They have a smash burger pop-up that's happening at the tasting room. That's on my list.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
God, I love a burger.
Same.
I love that we have things like dumplings coming in now, too. But, like, does anything beat a good burger in the summer?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Jinx. Just so good. I want to quickly mention before I forget, I was telling the two of you before we were on air, but I got a text this morning from my friend Steve, who lives in Brooklyn, and he is currently at a 2-star Michelin place called Zest in Seoul. And he found a bottle of Element from the Finger Lakes on their menu.
It's fantastic.
So fun.
Which is so cool.
It's the great. Reach is wild.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Totally.
And Maya, you can tell us a little bit more about Element.
Well, they're fantastic. Christopher Bates, he runs Element alongside the rest of his empire in the Finger Lakes. And he just does such a great job of creating really fun and interesting wines. And he and I were actually talking a little bit about, not to go down a total rabbit hole, but vintage variation, which is such an important thing up here in the Finger Lakes, because to your point of climate change and how this world is evolving, you know, how do you create the best possible wine every single year? And he just feels really strongly that no matter what the season gives you, you just have to put out your best. So it's really cool to see that it's traveled that far.
Yeah. So neat.
Yeah.
And, you know, he started a lot of the food and drink buzz that I heard about with FLX Table.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that was just so prominent when he moved here and committed to opening that place and this concept that was not new, but new for this area.
Mm-hmm.
And then to commit to Linden Street in Geneva and to see what it's become now because of that life that just like spread out from FLX Table is so cool.
It is totally cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you excited about, Abs?
What am I excited about? Honestly, short term and long term. Short term, again, something we were talking about recently, but there's a pop up coming to the Finger Lakes, work in progress.
Oh, yeah.
That I am super excited about.
Which we're going to.
Yeah. And in early August, I believe.
Yeah.
But it's a couple that did.
Maya's taking notes. Yeah. I love
this
so much.
Wrote it down.
They did a pop up at Kin Event Space a few years back that was very seafood.
Oh, did it have a different name?
I think it was Floor.
Yeah.
Don't quote
me
on that. I might be wrong.
No, I think you're right. Floor.
It was amazing.
Floor.
It was super well done. Service, food, absolutely incredible. And now they're doing another pop up, but a little bit more of an homage to the Finger Lakes, which is where he's from, I believe. So I get excited for that when people kind of put their energy and focus into like a pop-up restaurant in the Finger Lakes. I remember Supernatural Lake. I still talk about it. It was one of my favorite
that lemon
pop-ups
spaghetti.
To come. I will never stop thinking
about it. We're never over it.
No, I'll never get over it. But I think it's exciting when people who have these service and food standards want to put that energy into the Finger Lakes.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the immediate sense, I think that that buzz that's generated is what the region really needs and will, you know, hopefully, you know, give the people that want to turn investments into restaurant projects down the road the confidence and the push in the right direction, because that's what I'm excited about in the area.
And Chris and Kate are early 30s.
Yeah. Yeah,
like
they're
again,
young, just killing it.
Again, you've got a couple who said, and they've lived in New York and Berlin, and they've had their chance to live in these bigger cities, and they always say, no, we're going to go back to the Finger Lakes and invest in that area.
Yeah, when the choice is to bring it home and do something really awesome, it's extra special.
It's great. Makes me want to stand up and clap. I won't, because that would be weird right now. But
no judgment.
Do get really jazzed about people our age investing in this area, because that's how we make it. That's how we sustain it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we make it and then sustain it. Because otherwise, it can't just be Riesling. It can't just be, sometimes I go to the Finger Lakes for a wedding.
Or like a bus bachelorette party tour. No thanks.
Yeah. Did it once. It's like one of those bucket list things. You're like, I'm just going to get it over with.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, we have a couple minutes left with both of you, so I just want to give you a chance to shout out anything else that we didn't bring up, plug anything. I know, Maya, you should talk about the class that you do at New York Kitchen, because we got to preview that during Rochester Cocktail Revival, and I was so blown away by the work and the dedication that you and Sydney have put into that class.
Thank you so much for saying that.
Yeah.
And thank you for having us at Cocktail Revival.
No, it was phenomenal. Like, truly, we're thanking you because it was just so great.
That's fantastic. I appreciate that. So I teach a class called DEI Over Wine. It was actually something that happened because I was lamenting to my husband about my experience sometimes tasting around the Finger Lakes over lots of wine. And he said, why don't you teach a class called DEI and do it over wine and ask your friend Sid if she might be interested in being your co-teacher. And I'm so thankful that she said yes. So we initially was a, you know, one-off classes. It's turned into a cohort model where we're just talking to people about diversity, equity, and inclusion and how to make your businesses better and deliver good hospitality, regardless of what industry you're in or what your people look like that walk in the door. So it's an honor to do this work. It feels like good work, and I'm thankful that people are appreciating it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it comes across so clearly that the two of you respect it. And I think that's really important when you're, even like as I was like somebody who was on the organization side, but I was sitting there as a spectator as well. And I was just so captivated by the content. So
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Any other last minute things we want to plug here?
I mean, not specifically, but just get out there, go to the Finger Lakes, take a drive on a Saturday, go check out some of these spots. It's a privilege that we have this beautiful part of the world in, you know, an hour and change drive. Don't go on the bus tour. Do a little digging. Build your own itinerary and check out some fun places.
Yeah.
This is I'm a little bit biased because I work at this place and I do love it, but our annual garden party is coming up at New York Kitchen, and it is genuinely my favorite event of the year.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of fun. We get a lot of beverage vendors around tasting and sampling product, and the food is great and music is good.
And when is that?
It is August 13th.
August 13th.
August 13th at New York Kitchen.
Where can we find tickets?
NewYorkKitchen.com.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And there's so much fun to do in Canandaigua. Go to Pincho, go to New York Kitchen. Lots of fun happening.
Yeah, I feel like there's always new things opening there.
Mm-hmm.
See Brandy Carlile. That already happened. I'm just still thinking about it. All right. Well, it has been an absolute pleasure to chat with the two of you. As always.
Likewise.
Thank you.
Really nice to be here.
Yeah.
So fun.
So great to have you. We are going to go to our only break of the hour. That was me dropping something on the floor. The beauty of radio is that I shouldn't tell you that, but I did.
Keeping it real.
We're going to take our only short break. And when we come back, more from our guests, Gino, Patrick, and Dan. And I will introduce them to you, writers for City, writers for WXXI. And thank you, Maya. Thank you, Abby.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up in our second hour, a special rebroadcast of a recent episode of Connections in which we welcome Jonah Mendez. She was the first ever woman to be the head of the chief of disguise is the term. The CIA made her the chief of disguise, and her career took her to some of the world's most dangerous places. She joined us recently on Connections. It's a very popular conversation. We'll bring it back to you next hour.
From WXXI News, I'm Leah Stacey, sitting in for Evan Dawson, and this is Connections. We are back for our second half of the hour. I'm joined by Gino Finelli, contributor to City Magazine and Investigation City Hall reporter for WXXI. Hello, Gino.
Happy to be here.
Happy to have you. Patrick Hoskin, arts writer for City Magazine. Hi, Pat.
Hello.
And Dan Kushner, arts writer for City Magazine.
Hi.
It's me and the boys. I feel like we just had girl time, and now I'm, like, outnumbered.
The boys are back in town.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Really nice plug there.
Thank you.
Did the musical cue? No, I'm just kidding. It costs too much money.
Megan's like, please stop. All right. So we're going to talk about some of the pieces y'all worked on. I wanted to throw out some of the fun facts about the Finger Lakes. I meant to do this in the first half of the hour and had it in front of me, and I didn't do it, but I discovered some interesting facts about the Finger Lakes while we were working on this issue. I think we probably all did. And the biggest one was that there are 11 major Finger Lakes, but there are a ton of minor ones. And I just had no idea. And these are lakes that, like, I've never heard some of the names. So that was really interesting. I was, like, on Google Maps just zooming into these little tiny lakes that are, like, off Keuka and off Skinny Atlas. And then Casanova, I didn't know, was sometimes referred to as the 12th Finger Lake. So kind of interesting. All right, we are going to get into some of the stories you wrote. Gino, I'm going to start with yours because you had an early idea for this issue. I remember it was like the first meeting we brought up this issue, and you kind of immediately knew what you wanted to write about. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so one of the points of interest that I've always had in the beverage community here is kind of the laws that were created in order to enable breweries, wineries, distilleries from being able to operate here. And that those laws, the Farm Brewers Act, Farm Distilleries Act, Farm Wineries Act, really did allow for an outgrowth of all of these different wineries and breweries and distilleries to open up. But for distilleries, I think they're particularly interesting because of the qualifications that are put into these laws, that you have to use a certain amount of New York State ingredients for distilleries at 75%, for example. Mm-hmm. Distilleries are unique in that the law didn't really affect them that much because they were doing that anyway. There's a very, very hyper-local focus that's been happening in the distillery movement here for a very long time. And I guess the question I had of, like, why? What is the ethos here that is letting that happen? Mm. Obviously, you can get cheaper grains from, Nebraska, Kansas, Indiana, states that are well more versed in growing malted barley than New York. But that is really not the case that's happening here. Like, there is not that much of an import game that's happening to keep a lot of these distilleries afloat. They're more sourcing from, for example, Hauerhorn, who I interviewed Carl Neubauer for this story, who's a fascinating person. And he is sourcing pretty much everything for his distilling, which he makes a lot of different stuff from within 40 miles of the distillery itself. And it really comes to this idea of, you know, capturing this essence, this spirit of where these things come from. There's a sense of place in the creation of these spirits. And part of it is motivated by legislation, but larger, it's just the mentality that's going into the creation of these products and what these people want to make. And I think that's, like, what kind of drew me to doing this story. And it was just an interesting story to, you know, pick a part of, you know, what motivated this and the kind of really fascinating spirits that are coming out of New York now that you really can't get anywhere else because they are based on something unique that we have here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. And you tried the mushroom spirits.
I did try the mushroom spirits.
Thoughts?
I really liked the shiitake spirit, which was kind of more pronounced in the mushroom flavor, which it sounds disgusting, I'm going to be honest. Like, everyone I told about this, like, that sounds like the worst thing possible. Like, why would you want vodka that tastes like mushrooms?
People drink Fernet. Can we just talk about that? I mean, I think it sounds fascinating. So it's Mushroom Spirits Distillery.
Yep.
They
are on Cayuga Lake. Mm-hmm. It's ran by Joe and Wendy Rizzo, who run Blue Oyster Cultivation in Ithaca, which is a mushroom farm that they've had for about 20 years. Mm-hmm. And so they are making very, very, very small batch distilling operation. I think with about 25 gallon per batch kind of thing. So micro distilling.
Yeah.
So they're sourcing some of their spirits from other places in New York. And then they're just infusing them with some of the mushrooms that they grow. And some of them are there's very interesting flavor notes. Some of the whiskey, which had four different kinds of mushrooms, I did not particularly care for. It was very earthy, very dirt flavored. But it's just, this is the kind of, you know, forward thinking and, like, there's no other place as far as any of us know in the world that's doing those kinds of spirits.
Yeah.
It's just here in this little tiny shack style building on Cayuga Lake. And whether you like it or not, which I think it's going to be a very polarizing drink for most people that try it, it's cool that we have it and there's someone doing it. And it's something that it takes someone who's a little bit crazy, who is just willing to take that risk and that experiment to try something completely different. And that, I think, is the spirit of what makes the Finger Lakes such a unique region for the cultivation that we do here, the wines that we make here, mm-hmm. the beer that we make here, even a lot of the food scene that's is growing here now and I think improving very, very rapidly. Mm-hmm. It's all things that are based on people that are willing to try something new and like, okay, what can we do here that no one else has done before? And that's what I think is particularly cool about things like the mushroom spirits.
Yeah. I also feel like if I was a mixologist, having a bottle of that and like trying to concoct some sort of savory cocktail would be such a cool challenge.
Yeah, they do Bloody Marys with it. Like they have
makes
a whole cocktail.
Total sense.
Yeah, so Bloody Mary makes the most sense to me. They also had like more tropical cocktails. That,
but
like,
what about a mushroom martini?
It could work.
I feel like, I mean, listen, chicken noodle soup martinis were happening in New York. You can do anything.
Would you garnish with a mushroom?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
I'd also say, too,
we should probably stick to our day jobs.
chicken noodle noob martini, that kind of thing. I mean, I just went on my whole romantic rant about how it's great that people are trying new things and it's so there's so much spirit to it. But like maybe
about to backpedal.
Sometimes things have never been done because they shouldn't be done. And but you got to try. Like you got to try different things.
Try anything once.
Try anything once, and if it doesn't work,
I want to hear from somebody who gets a bottle of this and makes a cocktail. That's my challenge.
I also want to hear if like people don't like it.
Yeah.
To tell me it's terrible.
Or if they love it.
I would say if you even kind of like mushrooms, give it a try.
Yeah.
If you hate mushrooms, you're going to despise this.
All right. Well, that is a really in-depth and well-reported, interesting story from Gino. It's on page 44 of our July issue. We'll be up online as well soon, so check it out. Have some mushroom spirits. Let us know what you think.
Absolutely.
All right. And Pat and Dan, you are both more on the performing arts side of things with this issue. Big surprise from our team. Pat, you took a little road trip. Tell us about that.
I took a road trip to Homer, New York, which I had never been to before. But I got on my radar because it's about 12 miles sort of southeast of Skinny Atlas Lake, south of Syracuse, north of Cortland. I got on my radar because there's the Center for the Arts of Homer, which I started seeing was getting some really impressive musical acts that play there at this 400-seat theater, including, I think it was like Jonathan Richman, who's like a cult songwriter, played there. I think the same weekend as like Jim Messina as well. But like also more recently, the Preservation Hall Jazz Band out of New Orleans came mm-hmm. through. Just a very interesting and sort of eclectic blend playing. It struck me as interesting that they were playing in Homer as opposed to, you know, like Ithaca or, you know.
Even Syracuse.
Syracuse, yeah. Exactly. So I kind of just wanted to go and check out why that was. And the answer actually was very, you know, in meeting with the executive director and some of the show's producers, like the answer was basically just that they have good relationships with bookers. I think prominently DSP shows out of Ithaca, Dan Smalls' mm-hmm. operation. But they also just like pride themselves on their hospitality. So it's this church, this old church that was built in the 1890s. When the Baptist Church of Homer left that building in the early 2000s, basically the community rallied to keep it in the town because the whole town on the main street has historic place preservation and they wanted this community center to have that. So really the concerts are, it's really good hospitality that they show because they know, for example, that, you know, if a touring act comes into town, they can't just like go down the street and get whatever they need. They try to have it all there for them, whether that's food or, you know, like nail clippers, little bottles of
right.
of Listerine, whatever the case may be,
yeah,
in the green room.
They're like, what, half an hour from the largest?
I think like 20 to 25 minutes to the nearest like Wegmans, whether that's, I think it's like equidistant between the Ithaca one and the one in Syracuse. But yeah, so they use that basically as, you know, to build their reputation as a great place to play. They've said they've had a lot of great feedback from performers that are like, mm-hmm. this is kind of a cool little oasis in the middle of New York State. And they use the concerts, which are really well attended and, you know, and obviously kind of splashy. They use that as a way to get the word out about, well, first of all, to get members, certainly, but also to get the word out about the community theater that they offer, the dance classes, mm-hmm. Any number of classes, cooking class or culinary sort of art integration things. If you go to their website, it's center4art.org. And you just go to like programming, the list is unbelievable, because basically a lot of the programming stems from people in the community saying, you should try this. And then the executive director saying, cool, can you do it? And then in that way, it's
how you build a team.
Tried and true community center.
Yeah.
But it's a fascinating place. The one thing that I was not able to do was go see a show there. So I still need to do that. But it's a beautiful place. It was likened to, like, you know, almost like the Ryman in Nashville, which I've also never been to.
I love when you see an older building, and especially like a beautiful church, get turned into something that has this great second life. Like, just the best.
Yeah.
And yeah, it sounds like, I mean, I've also been hearing about this place for a long time and have not made it to a show. And the energy that even comes out of the article you wrote is just so positive. And I like can't wait to go there.
And as just a quick aside, on the lawn, they do have a replica of the Cardiff Giant, which was one of the great hoaxes in American history that I had learned about while being there. They don't have the original fake. I mean, because they're all fake. But they have a replica of the original fake Cardiff Giant, just because Homer played a part in it. And obviously, it was a central New York-based hoax. So it's just a sort of a little curio. And the whole place is full of little curios like that, you know, just like a cool, creepy doll in the corner, like a weird poster, just all
that's a no
all
for me, stuff. But okay.
That's fair. Yeah. You know, if you throw a dart, you're going to hit something that maybe appeals to you or maybe doesn't. But I think that's their whole approach, is they just have, it's very eclectic. So it's a cool spot.
Gino, now we know what to do with the doll.
Yeah.
The doll that you put on my desk. Yeah. Inside baseball.
That I put on your desk?
Yeah.
That just showed up there, Leah. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, Dan, save us from this. Tell us about your bluegrass piece, because this was also a festival that I was not super familiar with, had heard about, and had no idea that it was as longstanding as it is.
Yeah, so there's this festival in between Cayuga and Seneca Lakes in very rural Lodi, New York. That has been going on for over a quarter century. It's called Pickin' in the Pasture, and it really has become a sanctuary for traditional bluegrass music. And it's not just for regional artists, although many of them do come. There are a lot of national acts that come through, and it really, I think, the inaugural festival. They had the connection such that they were able to book Ralph Stanley, who's one of the great banjo players in bluegrass music. And I really do think that, you know, got them off on the right foot and really helped give them the momentum they needed year in and year out to book this festival. Because it's 4 days. It's in the middle of it's right there on this family farm, the Alexander family's farm. It's a sheep farm. And people come and they bring their campers and they play music on the campground, and sometimes they don't even leave their campsite. They just stay there and play music all day. And they, so there is that option. But it's really a charming location, and they were really engaging people and passionate about the music. And there's the bonus that their son, Jesse, they're all musicians, Jesse and his parents, Susan and Andy. But Jesse is a winemaker at Lamoureux Landing, and he also has his own craft distillery on site on the farm, where he makes brandy and gin and rum. And it's really interesting. So he sells that, you know, he makes that available during the festival. And that's sort of been in the beginning stages of the last few years. It's called Alistair's Distillery, or Alistair's Distillery. It's very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, it's fun that it's a family operation. I mean, he essentially grew up among this festival and then is kind of now making it his own thing.
Yeah, he was an infant when the first one started. And Susan was telling me stories about how basically, like, she, like, set him up on the stage behind her while she played. And he must have been, you know, in a rocker. I'm not sure what the exact setup was. But it's just a really sweet image. And it really drives home the family-oriented aspect, not just for them, but for I think, the bluegrass community as a whole. It's just sort of like this unexpected oasis, I think is a word that was used earlier, like unexpected oasis for bluegrass music. And it's a music that, you know, it's very niche. It's if you're not in it, you don't necessarily know a lot about it. You know, you've seen Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, and or you've heard Billy Strings or something, and that those are great entry points. But it's a fun music, and it's best heard live. So I'm excited to check it out this year. It'll be the first time I will have attended the festival, so I'm looking forward to it.
And when's that happening?
That is happening in late August. It'll be August 22nd through 24th.
Great. So people have a couple of days to get down there. Mm-hmm. Ooh, and you can find that story in our July issue on Stands Now. And we do have a map on our website. We get this question a lot. Where can I find City? We do distribute about as far as Geneva and point south, but you can always have it mailed to you. And if you are in from about Batavia to Geneva, our map kind of falls in there. We have a Google map with little pin drops all over it on our website. You can find that under our About section. So super helpful. Great. We just have a couple minutes left. I kind of want to hear from the three of you things you're excited about in the Finger Lakes this season and beyond, just like I asked Maya and Abby. So, Gino, you want to start?
Man, I'm at a point in my life where I don't really look forward to events anymore, which is like a really lame thing to say. I sound like a very boring person.
Interesting. Okay.
But I'm...
That's probably another show.
Yeah.
We'll unpack that later.
When we just sit around and talk about the things that make my brain work. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be a fascinating hour. I was taking a drive the other day with a couple of friends that were in from out of town, and I do this a lot. Like, I just drive around the Finger Lakes, and we'll just like stop and like just start walking on a trail or something like that. And I think really, really the thing that I appreciate and the thing that I love about this place every year is from about May through November, I think it's the most beautiful place on the planet. Of any place I've ever visited, I really think the greenery, the lakes, the smells and the sounds and the wildlife and everything is just it's we really take for granted what we have here.
Absolutely agree.
And most people that it's not that much of a tourist destination unless you're super into wine, I think. But most people that I meet that are coming here for the first time, it's like, how did I not know about this place that this existed? And and it's because it's a really well-kept secret that the Finger Lakes is really cool. And it's a beautiful, beautiful place. So, yeah, I just appreciate every year just being able to explore it a little bit more. And I always find something new, someone doing something new or just a new thing I haven't seen before. And it's great. And I've lived in Rochester most of my life, and I always something interesting to find out there. And
I love that.
It's a great thing.
It's a great answer. All right, Pat?
Yeah, you know, I not to plug, but I do have another story in here talking about farms and agriculture. And I learned so much in doing that one and in talking to farmers and agrarian experts that I actually got really stoked to try new and as local as possible foods.
Yeah.
Because I also take that for granted, to Gino's point. I'm like, yeah, it's like, you know, you can get anything you want at any time, but and that's not necessarily true, but the supermarket mentality makes that true. So
for
trying
sure.
to really
yeah.
focus and hone in on locally grown is really exciting to me, because just and talking to like literal experts of this, they're like, this is one of the most like agriculturally rich and like celebrated regions that I don't think people live here know this. And I certainly took that for granted, to Gino's point. So yeah, I'm excited to find into some extremely good produce.
You can get an Irondequoit melon soon. They're coming back in season. They're back.
I love that.
Juice those things with your bare hands. Great.
That sounds therapeutic.
It's awesome.
All right, Dan, you've got like 30 seconds.
Sounds good.
Tell us.
I'm looking forward to grassroots as always, every year it's really fun, and the lineup this year is going to be great with Molly Tuttle and Mavis Staples and the like.
And when is that?
That is in late July, mid to late July. And then I also wrote a story about museums in the Finger Lakes, and one of those museums is the Glenn H. Curtis Museum. I highly recommend it. It's really interesting. It has to do with the history of aviation.
Yeah.
Glenn H. Curtis was a really interesting guy and important to aviation, and there's a lot of vintage motorcycles and planes and just cool stuff like that.
Yeah. My thanks to all of our guests today, Maya Johnson-Dunn, Abby Quattro, Gino Finelli, Patrick Hoskin, Daniel Kushner. If you have not picked up our July issue of City, it is on stands now. It is all about the Finger Lakes, as you've heard this hour. Much more that we did not even cover, including maybe my favorite fact about how the first vineyard was planted in Hammondsport in 1830 by a pastor. Yeah.
Nice.
That's another show. Thanks to Megan Mack in the booth. Thanks to Evan and Megan for letting me host a show about the magazine I edit every month. I'm Leah Stacey. Thank you for listening to member-supported public radio. We'll be right back.